Has anybody seen my wife this morning? She flew in from Los Angeles this morning, and she's supposed to be here to work with Kate on the children's musical. I just wondered if anybody had seen her yet. Southwest, we're grateful. We're going to be looking in the book of Ephesians, chapter 4. We've been there for some time, but we're not done yet. Ephesians chapter 4. This very first phrase up on the board, "He gave gifts to men," actually comes out of verse 8. And I just want to say that He gave gifts to men. He gave gifts to us. When you accepted Christ as Savior, He gave you gifts. And these gifts that He gave you, they're not your skills. They're not your talents. They're not your passions. They're not your abilities. They're not your personality. Now, it may include all those things as you use your gift, but He gave you a specific spiritual gift, a Holy Spirit-given gift. And in a number of books of the Bible, and we'll look at those, it kind of delineates the list of different kinds of gifts that God gave to you. So God made this world, and He knew we sinned, and He sent a Savior, God in the flesh, and then He placed the church. After Christ ascended, He placed the church here, and our job now is to present the gospel to the world. And I have a question for you. What does God want to do in Somerset? Now, it's a serious question, and I have a pad of paper up here, and I have a pencil somewhere. And I am going to write down some of the things that you are going to say. And I'm going to ask that the Holy Spirit will lead you right now. Now, is there a slide before this that talks about, maybe not. I'm going to ask you a peculiar thing, Mike. Would you go out of my slide presentation, update it, and then put it back? Because I think I made some changes from the time this was loaded. So the question that I have for you is, what does God want to do in Somerset? Okay, and here's what I'd like you to think. So everyone in this room is different. I have different gifts and abilities than you do. You have different gifts than I do. I'm not interested in, I mean, I would love to have everybody speak individually. What do you sense that God wants to do in Somerset? If you feel compelled to speak, raise your hand. I'd like to write a few things down. Yes, Jane. Thank you. Other things, Lori? Okay. What else? Mark? Okay. Say it nice and loud, Mark. So that's unique, Mark, and different than spreading the gospel. It's using your talents. So everybody here is differently talented. Some can build, some can, you know, nurture, some can cook. Use your talents to spread the gospel. Lori? I'm sorry, Charlie? Bring people to Christ. Okay. There's a theme here. Yes, I just need to finish writing this. Okay. Janet? Teach the children. And that specifically could correlate with what Clayton was saying, with Awana, with children's ministry, Sunday morning children's ministry. We have a team of primarily ladies right now. It's not specifically only ladies that can teach children. I would love for men who are interested to help and teach children also, but we have a team of ladies right now who are teaching our children. They do it during this first worship service. They do it during the Sunday school hour, and they're busy all the time. So teach the children. Charlie, yeah, you said, okay, Kathleen.
He wants us to know that he
Okay. Is that the same way? Okay. Tim.
Nothing specific here, but just something that's been on the heart. We each are called by God to do what He wants us to do. None of us can do everything.
Yep.
But we can all do what God calls us to do. And if and when we do that, then God does everything.
Amen. That's a great reminder. Karen? Okay. Okay. Bob?
To help those in need that can't help themselves.
Okay. And you know, I really appreciate it. I've seen that kind of thing happen throughout the years at Pioneer Bible Church. We do it with Firewood Ministry, helping those that can't help themselves. I've seen people in this body do many, many, many different kinds of things for people. And that is an expression of God's care and love, especially if we pray over that and intend for that. I don't want to take away from what you said, but to help people who can't help themselves. Yeah. Sharon?
Just in all of it, that God Himself would be glorified.
Good.
The community wouldn't see Pioneer Bible Church, but they would see God.
Amen. Amen. Yep. That's exactly right. Katie? Okay. I don't know if you know this, but right now we're doing a blanket drive. It's been in the bulletin, collecting old blankets or new, sleeping bags, things like that that you would bring, and then those will be distributed primarily to the homeless community that has asked churches for blankets. And so, in firewood, yep. And you know, it's been what, a week and a half ago, we had a firewood day. Had a whole bunch of firewood split up and delivered, and praise God for that. So we have these kind of, I'm just going to stop for right now. We have these kind of things, and these are very practical ways. The next question is, you know, what do you think God wants to do in Somerset? And the next question is, well, bottom line is, who are the team to do all these things? It's us. And we have the privilege to do that. And I can't tell you what your gift is and what your ability is, but God says that He gave gifts to men to use for His honor and glory. So on this slide, it says we are called to use the gifts that He gave to us, and I would just want to suggest these things. We are to discover our gifts. Find out what we're gifted in. Now, oftentimes what you're gifted in is what you love to do. Oftentimes that's the case. What God seems to stir in your heart, an ability, and we'll look at, not today, there's not enough time to do, we're just kind of taking a stab at this. But secondly, to develop that gift. You can kind of know what's in your heart to do, but then you need to be able to develop that gift so that you can actually use it. Train, be trained in it, be guided in it so that you can use the gifts that you have. The third thing, of course, is to demonstrate our gifts, and that's what we're talking about. If this list of things that God wants us to do in Somerset is on our hearts to do them, then we need to demonstrate that. We need to, and to demonstrate it, you have to, first you identify it, and then you develop it, and now to demonstrate it, what does it take? You know, if you were to plan a trip, if you're going to take the kids to Great America, well, then you have to plan the trip, and you have to get the tickets, and you have to sacrifice the time, and you have to get time off work to do that, and you have to do all these different parts and pieces that allow you to demonstrate the action of that thing that's on your heart. And so there's a lot of investment in demonstrating your gift. I look at Joyce and Jane, and I think of how many weeks now, for 2 years, they've been providing meals for the Awana ministry. That means every week there's planning, there's going to the grocery store, there's buying, there's preparation, there's thoughtfulness beforehand, there's how they're going to use the kids who come in. That's just one simple but very significant way that they're demonstrating their gift. And it's interesting, Jane, that you would say feed people, you know? And if, yeah. Yeah, yeah. So many things. And then diligently use these gifts to complete God's salvation work on the earth. And many of you, when you talked about what God wants to do, talked about people being saved, spreading the gospel, sharing the good news. And that's what God is challenging us to do. I'm going to have you go back one more time, Mike, to this. Now, what I want to say is, I don't want you to wait for me or anyone else to do these things. I have often felt a sense of responsibility and some guilt in my lack of teaching about spiritual gifts or your spiritual gift or helping you figure it out. I think God's telling me, you need to figure it out. You're smart. You're filled with the Spirit. Read the Word. Find out what the gifts are in the Scriptures. The internet is a wonderful resource. I know it is also a bad source of things, but you don't ever have to use it for that. Use it to be a good resource. There is marvelous teaching on spiritual gifts, marvelous teaching on ways to develop the gift that you have. Books, talk with people, pray, spend time in prayer. Don't wait to discover, to develop, and demonstrate your spiritual gifts. Allow God to be teaching you. I hope that I can bring some teaching about spiritual gifts, and we'll do a little bit of it today. But certainly in 30 to 40 minutes, one time a week, you know, a few hours in a year, I can't really unfold all the information about spiritual gifts. And here's why. People, as you have already said, people need Christ. I'll tell you, if there's anything that I have recognized in the last few months of the crises in our United States and around the world, is people die. I can't get away. I personally can't get away from it. I think about it every day. I could die. You could die. Your neighbor could die. And what does God tell us? How many chances do we get? One. During this life, we have one chance to find Christ. We're born and we die. In between, God wants you to find him. It says, it is appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. Our Bible says nothing about second chances. Our Bible says everything about second, third, fourth, fifth, 1,000 chances while you're alive, while you're breathing. But once you have taken your final breath in your human life, your decision time is over. Now it's time for the judgment. So we have these challenges for us, and I would just encourage you to pursue the spiritual gifts that God has put into your life. There may be more than one, not just one spiritual gift. So now let's go to the scripture. And we've already read this, but I'm just going to walk through each slide. It says, to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. So this is not your gift, this is Christ's gift. And grace was given. That means grace that he bestowed upon us. This matchless, the old hymn says, the matchless grace of Jesus. And in that grace, that favor that God has bestowed upon us, it has to do with your salvation and has to do with the sanctification, the growing of you in as a Christian person. And that grace is also how God bestowed upon us gifts, spiritual gifts and abilities. So I love the fact that it's according to the measure of Christ's gift. God's measure is much bigger than my measure. I mean, what he is offering to you is much greater than I could ever even think to offer anybody else or what you could offer. It's Christ's gift. Therefore, he says, and I would like to mention in these three phrases, and we've talked about these three phrases one time before, three simple things. At this point, the Apostle Paul is quoting from Psalm 68. If you were to read Psalm 68, you would see these three phrases, and they're not in Psalm 68 exactly the same as they're in Ephesians chapter 4. But there's three things. It says, when he ascended on high. The first thing is, it's very simple. My understanding is, it means when Christ ascended. After he was resurrected in the first chapter of Acts, he was with the disciples. What did he do? He went back to heaven, right? And before he went back to heaven, when he came to Mary and Joseph, that's when he descended to the earth. And so you have, and it's going to show you that in just a minute. The second thing, he led captivity captive. Who did he lead captive? And this is a reference, in my understanding, to what he did to the evil powers, to Satan, to the principalities. It's not that he completely took them away, because we know we are in spiritual warfare. But Satan's not going to win. He led captivity captive. And Satan is still under the authority of God. The third thing, he gave gifts to men. And that is very specific. Specifically, God gave gifts to Christians, to people who have trusted in Jesus Christ. And let me just say to you, he gave gifts to men. When you received Christ as Savior and your soul was saved, God put in you spiritual gifts. You can't deny it. You can't run away from it. I don't want to. Sometimes I think, though, you know, God, I'm really not that. You know, and we discredit God for what he has done. You just need to believe this. God put something in me to be used in the body of Christ. He did. He put it in you, and he did it on purpose. And he did it with a goal in mind. He gave gifts to men. Let's look at this next phrase. Now this he ascended, what does it mean but that he also first descended into the lower parts of the earth? He who descended is also the one who ascended far above all the heavens that he might fill all things. Now let me just talk about the phrase, he might fill all things. All things are complete in Christ. And one of the things that he did in filling all things was he set up the church. He set up the body of Christ. He set up the gifting that would be here. He empowered us to do the work of the ministry of the gospel. That's what he's done. He has, where's the phrase again? That he might fill all things. And we'll look at that again in just a minute. Verse 11, and he gave himself, and he himself gave some. So to some people, he gave the ability to be an apostle. So to some people, he gave the ability to be a prophet. To some people, he gave the ability to be an evangelist and a pastor and a teacher. Verse 12, this is the four. Why did God do this? And he did it to equip the saints, for the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry. Now, I know these aren't brand new concepts. They're not brand new ideas, but here's the deal. People are dying. People need to come to Christ. He's gifted us to work on his team, and he wants us to work on his team. Like we said before, have you ever hired somebody to do a job and they don't do the job? You want to keep paying that person? Right. God says, I hired you, so to speak, to do a job. He wants you to take the gift or the gifts and use them to his honor and glory in his purpose. He doesn't want to have a bunch of us on the payroll and us not doing our job, not using our gifts. So it behooves me to discover my gift and to develop my gift and to demonstrate my gift. You remember the story where Jesus is telling the story about the man who went away and he gave these, he calls them talents in the Bible, but it actually refers to money. And he gave, you know, he gave each of these an amount of money to use while the master was gone. And one of them took what was given by the master and did what? The first one invested it. And the master came back and the guy said, "Man, I invested it, and look, I made this much more." And what did the master say? "Well done. Well done." And then the second one wasn't given as much, like wasn't given as many gifts. And what did the second one do? He did the same thing. He invested it. And then the third one that he gave the gifts or abilities to, what did he do? And he buried it. And when the master came back, the last one said, "Oh, master, I knew you were a hard master. And that I wanted to be sure and give you back what you gave me." But he didn't do anything. He didn't invest it. He didn't make any profit with it. He didn't use the gift as the master had left him to use. And the master says to that last servant, "You wicked and unfaithful servant. I gave you these gifts. At least you could have put it in the bank," Jesus says in Matthew 25, "to get interest." And the guy hands the gift back to God and says, "Well, God, you know, here it is. You gave it to me and I'm giving it back." And the master says, "That's not why I gave it to you." And the result of that, and it's harsh, you know, "You wicked and unfaithful servant, how is it that I gave you this and you never used it?" So there is a seriousness about what God entrusts to us. Now, the beautiful thing is even though it is there's a seriousness about it, when you're filled with the Spirit, I think there's a hunger in everybody's heart here to say, "God, I want to use what you gave me," right? Every one of us, we're saying, "God, I want you to use what you've put in my soul. Help me get over my fears. Help me get over my inadequacies. Help me to get over me so that I can just be used by you." He gave some, verse 12, "for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry." And by the way, the ministry is always the same. It has many aspects to it, but the ministry is God's ministry. And by the way, somebody said that when we're talking about these things, not that so that people would see Pioneer Bible Church, but so that people would see what? See God. The ministry is that God saved us, God is using us, that more people would, we are compelled, the Apostle Paul says, "I am compelled with the gospel of Christ," so that lives would be changed, so that when we do die and we go to heaven, that we've been active in the ministry. And by the way, I don't know how your ministry is going to play out. Twice now, while I'm standing here, I thought of my brother Chuck Wilson. Chuck Wilson was his teacher at Mountain Creek Middle School. He's been a teacher for many years before that. But what Chuck did was God put a passion on his heart to disciple primarily young men. And I'll tell you what I hear from young men who are under his tutelage at Pioneer Bible Church for the last lot of years is they talk about Chuck Wilson, how he spent time with them, how he loved them, how he prayed with them, how he talked with them, how he picked them up and took them to Bible study, how he ate In-N-Out burgers with them, took time with them. Man, that's changed lives. Right? Right. I'll tell you what, we are so busy, every single one of us, even me in my pastoral job, I'm so busy about doing tasks that we forget that we're here for each other. We're here to invest in each other. You know, if we asked, you know, how many of you got all your wood put up for the winter? A couple of you would raise your hand. Right? You got a lot of work to do on your property. We all do. You got a lot of projects at home. You got works that's pulling you. Do you know what God is saying? So what can you do to readjust all that, God's saying? What can you forget? What do you need to be part of? You know, I don't want to embarrass anybody, but Ruth Brown, you've been doing children's ministry with Bible Club and then Awana for 40 plus years. She doesn't even live right here like some of us do. She lives way over there. Praise God. Every single kid in our church has been affected by that ministry. And many of you have joined her in that ministry. It takes time, it takes effort, it takes investment, it takes her husband sacrificing and her family sacrificing. She's a busy lady. I mean to embarrass you or Chuck, but you know, God is calling me and you to give it to him, to say, God, here I am. And I don't want to undermine or make anybody feel bad. I praise God for what we've been able to do. But now the fields are widened to harvest. What more could we do? That's why I asked the first question. What do you think God is doing in Somerset, California? And he's asking us to step up to the plate. Let's go to the next slide. And then there's this phrase, God has given these groups of people with gifts for the ministry, for the building up, equipping for the ministry, and the building up, the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of faith and the knowledge of the Son of God to a perfect man. Let me just talk about those phrases briefly. Till we come to unity of faith in Christ. Now, I was talking with, so let's just talk about the word unity for a minute. How we are unified is in the cause of Christ. And so we're this, please forgive me, but we're a hodgepodge of people. God gathers us from the four winds of the earth, and he brings us together, and we are unified, and we are unified in Christ Jesus. We are saved by Christ Jesus. We are filled with the Holy Spirit. We are gifted by God, and he has called us to serve in the family of God. And by the way, I personally believe that the church, any church, is a miracle that we all exist together because we're so different. We have so many personalities. And it says that we are unified in our faith in Christ. And actually had a conversation recently with a person who said, when I go into the churches, I don't see unity. I see people bickering. I see people having differences of opinion. How come we're not perfectly in unity? Well, there is a unity in our faith, but God has called us, and it is seen in this scripture and many others, that we are called to maintain unity. So that means I'm going to be disunified with you sometimes. And I need to come and say, would you please forgive me? I'm sorry. And there's this call to humility and call to these characteristics that God has this humility and compassion and patience and thoughtfulness and long-suffering that God has called us to get along with each other, to put aside our differences and be focused on the gospel of Christ. A little bit more. And the knowledge of the Son of God to a perfect man. I just want to say the knowledge of the Son of God. A little later in this passage, it's going to say, don't be like children, tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine. And I want to tell you that it's very important that all of us take the time to know what we believe about Scripture, what we believe about God, what we believe about Christ, what we understand about the nature of God, the Trinity, and so on. That we be diligent to, like our children learn, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. That when it comes to this phrase, and the knowledge of the Son of God, that we understand who he is, and that Jesus is God in the flesh, Emmanuel, God with us. So we are equipped for the cause of ministry, that we would edify the body, that we would be called to unity, and that we would do it in an attitude of humility, that we would be certain about what we believe about God. And then it says, to a perfect man. And what that means is to a completeness, that we would be complete in Christ, that we would understand who we are in Christ, we would understand that he has called us, that he's gifted us, we're working together to be unified in Christ so that we can have a fullness, a full, complete work of God going on personally and corporately in our community. Stuff like that. To the measure and the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we would be like him. We would reflect him. We would reflect him in our lives and in our church family in the world. Verse 14, that we should no longer be children. And this is a really graphic. Now, in one place, Jesus says, be like children. And when he says, be like children, he's saying, be like children when they come to me with unhindered faith. Believe in me. This case, he's saying, don't be like children. He's saying, tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. You know, if I walked back into our children's ministry right now while the ladies are teaching and I had a pocket full of suckers and I said, kids, do you want a sucker? They'd be like, we're learning about John the Baptist. Oh, sucker, you know? I want one of those, you know? And then somebody comes in with brownies. Oh, I want one of those. And God is saying in our faith, in what we know about God, we need to be solid. Don't be like children. And then listen to the descriptions. Tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine, the trickery of men, the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. Can I just say to you, this is a whole nother sermon, but can you see where these kind of things can make even adults act like children? These, you know, I tell you, people say things, well-meaning, believing Christian people will say things like, do we believe in reincarnation? Okay. It's true. I mean, people get confused about these spiritual truths. Do we believe in purgatory? Do we believe, and they have these questions. And it's like, read, study, know what you believe. Don't be like children tossed to and fro. You know, I watch very rarely, but sometimes somebody like a health and wealth preacher who's going on about the wealth. Now, I believe that God has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, but I don't think God wants necessarily a person wealthy or poor. I don't think there's this, you know, God wants everybody in Christian faith wealthy. Goodness sakes, there are wonderful Christian people in Africa and Asia and all throughout the world where they have, if they have a piece of bread, they're wealthy, you know? You need to be able to discern when you're watching TV preachers. I'll have somebody say, well, you know, I saw it on the Bible channel on TV. Well, there might be some good stuff to learn on the Bible channel. But you have to be able to be discerning and go to the Word and say, but what do I really believe? What does the Scripture say? Okay? So it says, don't be like children tossed to and fro, carried about by every wind of doctrine, any kind of teaching that could be out there, by the trickery of men and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. So just be discerning. And then it gets to this phrase, and it says, but speaking the truth in love. Now, I have preached sermons on this verse that I'm going to tell you, I think we're out of context. I think it's important that all of us speak truth with each other. The Bible talks about that. And the Bible talks about speaking the truth in love. So we have an attitude of love in our spirit while we're talking to somebody in truth. But this truth here in this passage is talking about God's truth. It is emphasizing all these things that we've just talked about, that having the knowledge of the Son of God, speaking the truth in love. That's what God is calling us to. So knowing the truth, and there could be a whole list of things, biblical truths that we're talking about, that he is saying to us, speak the truth that you know about God to other people in your lives and speak it in love. Okay? So God has called us to things in Somerset, California. God has gifted us as a body to be able to minister these things that we are part of, whether it's at Pioneer Bible Church. And I think, you know, Fred and Janet, we're over on Fort Jim Road, so they might have a whole ministry on that end of our county. They're actually, you know, and some of you are Grizzly Flats and River Pines and how God's working. Maybe your ministry is going to be, some of your ministry is going to be in and through the church, and maybe it's going to be in your neighborhoods, wherever it's at. You know, in 1 Peter, it says that we would be fruitful and that we would not be, I wish I could remember the word. It's actually what it says is that you would not be unfruitful. And I was thinking, what happens when you hoard fruit? Yeah, you know, somebody gave us a bucket of apples last week, and I've been eating them one by one, but there's a bucket full. And if you leave them there very long, you get these nice little gnats flittering all over your house, right? Did God give us gifts and fruit to hoard it? You know, he wants us to be fruitful with our lives. It says that you would not be barren or unfruitful. So if Peter says, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and so on, so that you'd be fruitful. So I'm going to stop. It's late. I asked Kate if they would come and sing for us. There is this song, Everyone Needs Compassion. And in this song, it talks about how the people of God are part of the ministry of God, reaching out to a world that's in need of God. And so if worship team would come, and I'm going to pray while they come. God, we have listed 10 things from the congregation that are very specific. Keeping people warm, feeding people, spreading the gospel, using our talents, bringing people to Christ, teaching children, that we would know the love of God and our community would know the love of God, to do what he calls us, knowing that God will do it through us, loving one another, helping those in need, and that you would be lifted up. What an incredible list. And Father, I just pray that we would, each one of us, continue to discover and to develop and to demonstrate the spiritual gifts that you've put in our soul. Thank you. Thank you for what you've done through this ministry of Pioneer Bible Church for all these years. We just ask you for a new anointing of your Holy Spirit for the next seasons ahead. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
I'm going to leave it up to you whether or not you'd like to stand. We're going to end singing the first verse and a couple refrains. Oh,
God, we thank you that we have been recipients of this compassion. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for the incredible salvation that we know. And Lord, I pray that you would just teach us and guide us. Many people in this room kind of already have a sense of where you've gifted them spiritually. And maybe we need new opportunities to use these gifts. Maybe we need to rethink our priorities and rethink where we're at. And maybe we've used our gifts and then put them on the shelf for a while. And maybe it's time to reopen that package of the gifts that you've given to us. Lord, I pray for all these things, that big things we've been talking about, Angel Tree and Samaritan's Purse and Thanksgiving baskets and Harvest Fair. And there could be many other things. We just ask you, Lord, that people would come to Christ. I pray, Lord, as we give out these little gospel tracts during Harvest Fair, that the children and the families would read them and that they would sense that we love them as they interact with us. Thank you, God, for pulling us together, putting us together. And God, I pray that we as a church would just hallmark each other's gifts and abilities. Literally, pat each other on the back, pray for each other, encourage one another. All the more as we see the day approaching. Thank you, in Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.